tweet it out, and you have the sense that the Oilers will be adding another defenseman, a depth defenseman at some point over the next week or so. When you look at that, before we get into specific names, is there something as far as you know, a style of play or something you'd be looking for the Oilers to add in that depth role?
Well, they'd love to add somebody who can compete for the Norris Trophy. I mean, if we're just up to them, what type of player would they like to put into that position? I mean, listen, this is about dollars, right? So 800 to 1.1, somewhere in that range, you know. I think that's just going to be somebody that fits into that right around $1 million, whether it's two times under $1 million for somebody or one times $1 million for somebody. I think it'll be right in that range. So honestly, Struds, I think it's as much about the money they have to spend on that spot in terms of the type of guy. I mean, look, they've already got Chris Russell, who's going to compete for minutes in that spot, right? Who's a penalty killer and a shot blocker and, you know, a gutsy guy. Maybe they would look to go for a different body type as their other guy so that during certain games, like certain opponents, you have the option to put in a guy who maybe skates a little better, is a little taller, a little rangier, a little bigger. So maybe a different style, or like different size of player than Chris Russell. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I'm here just saying. I think that, you know, maybe just again, you look at Bouchard's a pretty big guy. You got Nurse, a big guy. Keith is, you know, not huge, but he plays, you know, a pretty big game. You know, Bear, we know what he is. Cody Ceci, a big guy. So maybe you look at some of the track records, some of the teams have had some bigger Ranger guy. Does it have to be someone who can kill penalties?
Does it have to be a penalty killer? Well, let's go through. You got Nurse on one side. You got Ceci. You got Russell. Keith, I would think, would kill penalties. So you've got four penalty killers. Ideally, you could put some, you know, you would put somebody in, because I don't know that Barry or Bouchard in the early going would be given that nod, although I think Evan Bouchard has the body type to potentially kill penalties someday, depending on how his defensive awareness goes. If he's going to be a top, you know, pairing or two defenseman, ideally those guys can kill penalties, but we'll see. So, yeah, ideally he would come with that club in the bag. But I think the guys you're looking at, left shot, veteran guys, I think most of those guys would be penalty killers, right? Because I don't think you're going to get someone sure. who's primarily been an offensive-type defenseman to play in that role on your third pairing with, you know, sometimes with Tyson Barrie, sometimes with Evan Bouchard, right?
Slater Cuckoo is a name that, you know, Oilers fans would be familiar with, and there is familiarity with the club because of his history last year. Outside of him, are there some names that you're hearing or you'd like that would fit into that mold of that, you know, that the guy that get a little bit bigger, kill some penalties, you know, on the cheaper side?
Well, as I just tweeted, I think it's going to be Slater Cuckoo or Jordy Benn. I think it's going to be one of those two guys. Not sure which one, but I think those are the two guys that make the most sense from a style of play and a price point scenario, an experience scenario. You know, Cuckoo has been here. He's played well for stretches. He fits. I think they really like him in the room. I think he's one of those guys that just loves every day is in the NHL, and I think they really like what he brought to the group that way. And then Jordy Benn is a veteran guy who's been around. He's 6'2", you know, a couple hundred pounds. You know, he's bounced around a little bit, but I think he's a pretty good solid player there. I think he's also really tight with Tyson Barrie, right? They're Victoria boys. So there could be some synergy there as well. So my sense is it's going to be one of those two. I'm just not sure which one. I think there may be money on the table for Slater Cuckoo right now and a bit of a waiting game happening, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, those guys, I think, would be fitting fine. With the addition of either Cuckoo or
Ben.
Ben, or, you know, whomever, what does that mean for, you know, Willie Lagesson?
Well, I mean, Willie Lagesson is going to be in a fight to be in the NHL this year, 100%. Like, Chris Russell will be the third-pairing guy, default third-pairing guy. If you bring in Cuckoo or Ben, they're immediately battling for third-pairing minutes with Chris Russell. Now, you have to assume there's going to be some injuries along the way, right? You have to assume that that's likely to happen, and so Chris Russell has the ability to play either side, which is a real positive for him. But assuming everybody stays healthy, William Lagesson's the odd man out, I would say. And, you know, there's been a healthy fear by this organization that they would lose him on waivers if they tried to get him down to the American Hockey League. That may end up being the case. I don't think it's something the organization needs to be deathly afraid of. I think he's a good player. I think he's, you know, he plays a decent style. I thought he had a good run for a little bit there. But I also don't think that he's locked in as an everyday NHL player yet. And so if you've got veterans like Ben and Russell sitting there, you know, I think you're okay. Now, who knows? Maybe they'll disagree, and maybe they won't want to lose him, and so maybe they'll try and send somebody else down, one of those other two guys. You know, maybe Chris Russell or something like that. But, I mean, do you think Lagesson is penciled in as the absolute seventh guy next year?
Well, you know, he I think he's got to take another step, right? And he's got to keep moving. I think that they like what he is. Like, we know what he is. But he's going to have a good training camp. Like, I talked about Brendan Perlini yesterday. You know, he's got to come in, and he can't just be good, because other guys are going to be better who have more stock. Like, Lagesson's got to come in and be noticeably physical. He's got to be good at defending and moving the puck quickly. Like, it's just very simple. He's got to play, I'd even say, with an edge that's at times a little bit dirty. You know, like, because he'll separate himself from the Russells because he's bigger. He'll separate himself from you know, whomever, like a Jordy Ben or a Cuckoo, because, you know, those guys might not be able to or might not want to do that at this stage in a career. But you've got to come in and really separate yourself. And I kind of know what I'm talking about because I did it. You know, that's kind of the way it is. So just being okay isn't good enough, because they'll play Russell instead of him.
Now, is there a I'm just pulling stats here quick. Is there a difference? Like, is Jordy Ben a guy that will play the game a little bit more robust? Like, if the tough stuff starts to happen, is Jordy Ben more likely to be standing in there, you know, if there's a fight to be taken or a score to be settled or something like that? Is Ben more likely to do that than either Cuckoo or Russell? I think so, hey? That's more in his wheelhouse to do if he has to.
Yeah, I think he has it. I mean, to be fair, the game has changed a bit, but I don't think he's a guy that shies
sure.
away from it. But
we're we're just weighing everything in here, right? So
yeah,
we're talking about all the different assets and what guys bring, and, you know, they still have Cassian on their roster if he's healthy, but if he's not healthy, then a lot of that business falls to Darnell Nurse, and I wonder if there isn't maybe a desire to have a guy that it can at least think that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, 100%. And with, you know, with what's-his-name gone, Jujar, I mean, the Oilers are a little bit thin in that department. You know, and to be fair, I mean, there's not that many people you have to be fearful for. But, you know, and getting a little bit off track because we're joined by Ryan Rashog. But with Zach Cassian now, like, he, to me, is one of the biggest wild cards on this team. I think we can predict, you know, what Hyman can do. We can predict, you know, what Volko can probably do. I think Nuge, maybe a little more scoring. Yamamoto's maybe another wild card on that side. I think Puljujärvi, we expect him to take a step forward. The centers, I think we know what they're going to deliver. But Zach Cassian could be, it'd almost be like found money. If he can come in and play with that zest, and that emotion that maybe he does truly get from the fans. If he can do that, and I know it's hard, but he can intimidate players with his physicality and his speed. I because you can see it out there when he's on. And if he can do that, man, that would help so much for this team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like, you just, you're right. The game has changed. 6 career fights, by the way, for Ben. So a few. He's been willing. But it's not as relevant in the game anymore as it used to be, to your point. And you need guys that can just go out there, skate fast, hit hard, and preferably if it comes to it, right, they're there to look after things so that the Leon and Connors and Nuges and Hymans and those guys of the world don't need to worry about that stuff. But it is far less relevant. For Cassian, man, this organization really needs Zach Cassian to have an excellent year. They really do. Like, he needs to keep himself a top 9 forward wire to wire through a season. Don't you think? The difference for them when he is usable in just the shape and the mood and the temperament of that team is so different when Cassian is usable and on the ice more often. I just think it's so crucial for him to have a good year. And I don't mean he needs to score 23 goals. You know, 12, 14, 15, whatever it ends up being, depending on how much time he plays on the top couple of lines, be a usable, you know, top nine forward if you're Zach Cassian. Hit hard, fight if you have to, look after your teammates, do your thing. He'll take care of that end of things, but just be usable. It's such a big swing for them if he is, I would say.
Yeah, no, it's huge. Now, we're getting a lot of texts in here, and please ask Ryan Rashog about Eric Gabranson. Now, Eric Gabranson, for those who aren't familiar, he's a big guy, 29 years old, right shot, maybe a little bit. He was a really high draft pick, a number of years ago, coming off a pretty, to use your term, robust contract of $4 million per year, maybe a little bit of an overpay, but any interest in him, considering he is a right shot?
Yeah, well, until they sign CeCe. I mean, he's a right shot. So you've got three every-night guys on the right side already. And so unless you're willing to say Chris Russell is an absolute... I mean, they need a left shot guy. They don't need a right shot guy.
Fair point, yeah.
Right? Barry's in every night. CeCe, for what they're paying him, every night. And Evan Bouchard needs to be in every night this year. They can't muck about with Evan Bouchard this year. After what they did last year, they need to have the patience of patron saints with Evan Bouchard next year. He needs to be given as much rope as he needs to be an every night NHL player after what he went through this year, which I still believe was a mistake. You know, he could flip and win the Norris Trophy next year, and I'll still say what they did with him this year was a mistake. So he needs to be an every-night guy. Going out and getting another right-shot guy just complicates things. They need a left-shot guy. Russell doesn't have to be in every night. Russell can play the right. Gudbranson wouldn't be able to play the left, I don't think, efficiently. So I think their focus is a left-shot guy. I like Eric Gudbranson. I think he does all the things that I just talked about, takes the pressure off Darnell Nurse, takes the pressure off Zach Cassian, looks after everybody. Had they fallen through on a guy like CeCe or Hamonic, I could have seen them going in that direction. But he shoots the wrong way.
And I think CeCe moves better across the ice than Gabranson. I think he's a better. I think he's got more movement. Just on the other side, another one coming in. We're joined by Ryan Rashog. Chara, I at his age, obviously the conversation I have to have about him wanting to come, but another guy is he too much
conversation?
Keith? Well, I mean. I said earlier, I don't think he's going to move from the East Coast. This is an Edmonton thing. I think it's an East Coast, West Coast. And I have no inside information, but I mean, the guy, he's not 29. He's like 49. But if a guy like that would be that, is it too much like Duncan Keith?
Well, it's a lot like Duncan Keith. So you got a 44-year-old skating around back there for you. But Chara is an absolute freak of nature. Like, he is just incredible. And I would be in favor of it if Zdeno Chara understood, like, look, you might play every night, you might not. You know, you're going to battle for third-pairing minutes. That's just the way we see it. Our expectation is Duncan Keith will play every night. He'll be the 18, 19-minute-a-night second-pairing guy. We view you as a third-pairing guy. We need you to help out Evan Bouchard. And we'll see how it goes. But we may have guys that are going to push you and play ahead of you. And if Chara's like, yeah, giddy up, let's do it, I would strongly consider that. Just whatever Boston had in that room, for even an ounce of that to rub off on McDavid and Draisaitl and Nuge and Hyman and those guys, I covered that Boston team in many, many playoff series over the years. Many. And I place a huge value on what Zdeno Chara has to offer from that standpoint. So you're talking about a third-pairing guy for low dollars, I'd look at putting that into the room. But as long as he understood, because you don't want him to come in under false pretenses of being an absolute every-night guy locked in no matter what, and then, it slipped more than you hoped, and rather than getting him in every other game or two out of every three or whatever, now you've got a problem. So it's got to be under the right pretense. But I would consider putting that player in the room. I don't think there's any way he's coming here.
No, I agree. And I don't think it's Edmonton. I really do think it's just that whole, moving everything away. And one last one is joined by Ryan Rashog. Any thoughts on the Blackhawks legend, Tony Esposito, passing away today?
That was crummy, right? Like, that's sad. I mean, just a legend, right? A massive personality in the game. A legend. What did he win? two or three Vezina trophies.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he was the rookie of the year one year, all-time franchise leader in wins and shutouts and all that stuff. He's just, yeah, he's one of the legends of the game, and it's always sad when somebody passes away, especially when they, you know, they got a lot of life left in them. And I know he was 78 years old, but I think, you know, over the last number of years before he got ill, you know, anytime you saw him, there was no lack of spark left in that man. So, yeah, really, really sad. Absolute legend. The hockey world will rejoice and honor him as they should.
Yeah, they will. And there'll be many great stories coming out for the new generation that maybe didn't know what Tony was all about. Shocker, yep. Thanks for checking in. We'll catch you tomorrow.
All right, great to talk to you, pal. See ya.